beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. Visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is the key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony, without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We are happy to announce that this month that we had 129,000 hits on our website. Out of those 129,000 hits, we were hacked for two full days and two partial days that some supercomputer hacked our website and was able to shut us down for two full days. So we would have broken our record. Our record was a month ago, 142,000. We would have broken our record had it not been for the hacks that we had. I got an email from one of the house churches that we have helped establish in Clinton, Iowa. They take our sermons, both our written lessons and our audio sermons, and put them on YouTube and Facebook. They've had 15,000 hits a month before last and 19,000 hits last month on just taking our sermons and putting them out. So besides us putting them out, we have other little house churches that are putting them out on Facebook and stuff like that. It's an absolutely amazing thing. You're able to worship in the safety of your own home, and we want to encourage our worldwide radio audience to do that. This morning, we're broadcasting. If you look at the map, we've got a map of, you can see, all of North Texas here. We're covering all of North Texas, all of Oklahoma. The Arkansas station sold out. We're looking for a station there because that's where our colleges are. We're broadcasting out in Abilene, shaming the change movement. What a shame that they are. We're broadcasting to all of Tennessee, northern Alabama, Mississippi, and Kentucky, North Carolina, up through that area there. If you'll notice on our African radio network, we're broadcasting, broadcast 1, 2, and 3 covers all of the African radio network. And one person makes that possible. One Christian has pledged the money that is necessary to reach all 21 English-speaking countries in Africa with the gospel. In Africa, only 21% of the people speak English. And so if the other 78.2% of the people are going to hear the gospel, they're going to have to hear it by the spoken word, by radio, or with a preacher. They've got no other chance of hearing the Word of God. Just below that in your bulletin, you'll see the monthly totals of our website. And you'll notice in March, we had 128,413 hits. You'll see down at the bottom line there for the year, for 11 months, we had 1,087,150 hits. You'll notice how we've grown all year in this final column here from 66,000 hits a month and 63, 67, 83, 82, 88, 117, and on up. We're growing every month in our hits on our website. And so we have 3 broadcasts that covers all of Africa. You'll notice that broadcast 4 covers all of South Africa, and it gets the Caribbean, and it gets all of South America. Broadcast 5 gets all of Northern Africa, again, and gets Europe and Greenland and part of Russia. Broadcast 6 covers all of India, all of China, all of Russia, Australia, New Zealand. There's some folks from Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa here this morning. And so that's all covered from this broadcast out of Radio Madagascar. Broadcast 7, broadcast out of Miami, that covers all of North America and Greenland. Broadcast 8 covers all of South America. These broadcast antennas, they are so big, they're as big as 3 football fields up in the air. And they're like wire mesh that are huge cables that are up in the air that are stretched between poles that are as big as 3 football fields to do this 100,000 watt broadcast. If you'll notice, broadcast 9 is WWCR out of Nashville, Tennessee. And shortwave radio is like a ping pong ball. It bounces off the ionosphere and comes back to Earth and bounces back up and it bounces back and forth. And they shoot this broadcast out of Nashville, Tennessee over the North Pole, and it gets all of China, all of Russia, and all of the Pacific over the North Pole. A little house church in Levon pays for this broadcast that goes out over the North Pole to all of the Pacific, Russia, China, and India. You see, broadcast 10 and 11 goes out. One sister pays for those that go out of WRMI Miami, and they broadcast again over the North Pole and cover all of China. It hits Beijing at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and 9 o'clock at night. Then again, WRMI out of Miami on broadcast 12 broadcasts and gets all of Europe all of the Middle East, all of Africa, again, all of India, and half of Russia. In broadcast 13, again, the Levon congregation pays for WWCR that broadcasts out of Nashville, and they have a wraparound antenna that covers all of North and South America, all of Africa, all of Europe, the Middle East, and India, half of Russia. In the first century, every little congregation took it as their business to take the gospel to the whole wide world. If you drop down with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which is come unto you as it is, present tense verb, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. The little church in Colossae thought that it was their business to help take the gospel out to the entire world. Colossians 1:23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was, past tense verb, preached to every creature which is under heaven. Romans 10:17, how do people begin to believe? Well, they hear the Bible. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say unto you, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. The gospel is going out from this little congregation to all the earth. Who'd ever think? Not only is it going out to all the earth, when you add all 13 of those broadcasts up, we're covering all the earth about five times. It's an amazing thing. If you'll open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 21, last week we studied when the Lord will suddenly come to his temple, the triumphal entry. We're going to have several weeks now in which we're going to study the passion of Christ, the last week of Christ's life. And so last week we studied the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem and Mark's account. This morning, instead of studying, we're just going to simply read Matthew's account. And then we're going to go on and continue studying using Matthew as our text. The day before, Jesus had made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The day before the lesson we're talking about today. Riding upon the ass, upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Matthew 21. And when they drew nigh to Jerusalem, and were coming to Bethphage, even to the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go ye into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Notice it's an ass and a colt, two animals, the mother and the baby. Loose them, and bring them unto me. If any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send thee. And all this was done might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, and so now he's going to quote Zechariah 9:9, saying, say ye in the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh to thee. What's this king, this Messiah? This is written 400 years before Christ is born. Thy king cometh to thee. What's he going to be like? He's going to be meek and sitting upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And his disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches from the streets, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. All this was in fulfillment of two great Old Testament prophecies, one written by Moses in Genesis 49, 10, and 11, which was uttered by Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. Jacob is on his deathbed, and he's prophesying about his children. And he says the scepter, the kingly tribe, will be Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. The king of Judah will always have the ability to carry out capital punishment until Shiloah come. And that word Shiloah means to him to whom it belongs, to him who's the real king, to him who can really take your life. Till Shiloah comes, and to him, this Messiah, shall the gathering of the people be. How will we know him? Binding his foal upon a vine and his ass's colt to a choice vine. Then the prophecy that Matthew had quoted out of Zechariah 9:9, written about 400 years before Christ. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, had told them in Malachi 3:1, Behold, I will send my messenger, John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me, before God. And the Lord, Yahweh, the Lord, that's what that word is there, Yahweh, Yahweh, Jehovah, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. The day before, Jesus had cleansed the temple by casting out the money changers. Matthew's account of it, Matthew 21:12-15. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of those that sold doves. They had taken the court of the Gentiles and turned it into a Walmart, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. A shocking description of Israel's snakes living dens. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. All this is in fulfillment of Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger, John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord himself, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. He did that, riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who will abide the day of his coming, of the money changers, in other words? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he'll purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Last week, one of our members reminded me that the description that I gave you of the smelting process was really the smelting process that you take ore and that you put it in a crucible and you put fire under it and you put coals on top of it, and it's got a hole in the bottom of the crucible. And so the gold, being a heavy metal, goes to the bottom and runs out. And so that is unrefined gold, that's smelted gold, and then you take that smelted gold and you put it in a separate crucible and you build a hot fire under it and you keep raking. The impurities come to the top because the gold's a heavy metal, and you keep raking it off. And the way that the refiner knows that he has the pure gold, guess how he knows? He can see his face in the metal. In the melted metal. God wants to see Jesus in you. He wants to refine you until you become pure and become just like Jesus. And so that should be your goal in life. The day before he healed the blind and the lame in the temple, Matthew 21:14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. That's in fulfillment of Isaiah 35:4, written about 750 years before Christ came. Say unto them that are fearful of heart, be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come. God's going to come. Malachi told us the Lord's going to come. Now Isaiah tells us God's going to come. Elohim is going to come with vengeance. Even God with recompense, he'll come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. How are we going to know Jesus? He's going to heal like nobody else ever healed. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall a lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. In Matthew 21:23, we'd like to encourage our radio audience to come to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, 1,000 written lessons. You can get a college education on that website. And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, and he said, By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Well, they're going to examine. They're going to find out about it. Years ago, I was a chaplain of the Dallas County Jail, and I taught and baptized 1,000 people a year for 3 years. And so the greater Dallas community of churches hated me if I'd have gave away toothbrushes and combs and pencils and writing paper. They loved me, but I gave away Bibles and preached the gospel, and they hated me. And so they had a guy who was going to run for sheriff against the sheriff that had okayed us. He was a Church of Christ man, had okayed us to go into jail. So this Director Collins was going to run against him. And so they called me to come to a meeting at this Director Collins' office. And I go down there, and there's the greater Dallas community of churches in their robes, in their collars. They're dressed up in all their outfits, and they're in a big circle. They got chairs in a circle, and they got one chair sitting out in the middle of that circle for me to sit down in, see? And so I walk in there, and I get that chair, and I pull it in line with all the rest of them. And I said, y'all scoot over and make room for me. I don't want to sit out there in the middle like that. So they said, well, listen, you got a degree in Bible, but you haven't got a degree in counseling. And so you're really not qualified to be a chaplain. And no, they go. And so I told them, I said, I tell you what, if your chaplain can quote the books of the New Testament in order, I'll just resign and turn in my badge right now and you never see me again. And so they turned on him. They said, well, do it, you know, and let's get rid of this guy. And, of course, I knew he couldn't do it because he'd never preached a sermon in his life. All he did was steal money. He charged $5 a check to cash inmates' checks. This is about what's going on here. These people got a racket, and they want to know about what authority Jesus does this time. By what authority does he come into the temple and teach? By what authority does he heal people? By what authority does he do these miracles? And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him, and he was teaching, and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave us thee this authority? The chief priests and elders are quick to investigate, as they did John the Baptist. Go read John, the first chapter, where they went out to investigate him. But he gave them some testimony. They're slow to believe. Did they believe the messenger or forerunner's testimony about John the Baptist, about his testimony concerning baptism? Martin Luther said, I believe in order to obey, I obey in order to believe. Jesus is now in the temple, and let's see if they believe the messenger from Malachi 3:1. Matthew 21:24. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, and likewise I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. How could they deal with his authority as a Christ if they couldn't deal with the forerunner's authority as the forerunner, as the messenger who comes before the Christ? If they can't deal with the messenger's authority, they're sure not going to be able to deal with the Christ's authority. Malachi 3:1, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. So Jesus asked them in Matthew 21:25, the baptism of John. Whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did you not then believe him? But then if we say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. There was no safe response to their answer. So their answer was to be evasive. Matthew 21:27, they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. How can we expect to know more if we won't take action based on the facts we already have? How can we expect God to give us more knowledge if we won't act on the knowledge that we already have? In Psalms 119, I will run the way of thy commandments. That's first. Then or when thou shalt enlarge my heart. So after you keep the commandments, then God's going to enlarge your heart and you do other things. Now we have the context for the following two parables, parables of the two sons. Remember, now Jesus is talking to religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, the hypocrites that's running the temple. He's talking to religious leaders who were not doing what they claimed they believed, the Old Testament, and who refused to follow the guidance they had from the messenger, John the Baptist. Now I want you to understand that Israel is no different than that today. Israel does not read the Bible. Israel reads the Babylonian tabloid, the Jerusalem tabloid. They read the rabbis, but they don't read the Bible. Do you know that they won't allow Isaiah 53 to be read in synagogue? They say, no, no, it confuses too many people. Sounds just like Jesus. Can't do that. Can't allow that to be read. Matthew 21:28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Certain man is obviously God. The vineyard is Israel. In Isaiah 5:1, Isaiah says, now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my well-beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. Verse 7 of that same parable from Isaiah, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. So what does the word vineyard mean? It means the house of Israel. See, we have definitions in the Bible. We need to know what words mean. And here the Bible has defined the word vineyard. So when Jesus gives a parable and he says, the man had two sons and he said, go work today in my vineyard. What's he telling them to go work? Well, go work in the house of Israel. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, the house of Israel. Back to Matthew 21:29. And he answered and said, I will not. I said, I will not work in God's vineyard. I couldn't wait to get out of my mom and daddy's house. I wanted out of their house, boy. They were Christians, and I wanted to sin. And I couldn't wait to get out of their house. And I shook my fist at God and them, and I left. I said, I will not, and I left. Just like the harlots and the publicans and all the people that John the Baptist baptized, they did the same thing. Just like y'all. We were all a bunch of sinners. We shook our fist at God and said, I will not serve you. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. Then came he to the second, like the holy rowers, the legalists, the Pharisees, the scribes, the hypocrites, the doctors of the law. Then came he the second and said, likewise, and he answered, I go, sir, and he went not. These two responses represent the responses of God's people throughout all of history. Everybody is like this. Everybody's like this. We're all like this. Matthew 21:31. Whether or which of them twain did the will of his father? And they said unto him, the first. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the church of Christ. This new coming kingdom that Christ has came to establish. The harlots and the publicans are going to go into the church of Christ. Sinners are going to go into the church of Christ. But the big shots, the big wigs, they're not going to enter in. But the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. God's will is to be done on earth, like the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's God's will that we bear fruit. John 15:1 talks about us bearing fruit, souls, and going out and telling people about Jesus. One of the first things you need to always do is tell everybody you meet about the Lord. You need to get them in church. You need to bring somebody with you. The second thing we need to do is become holy ourselves, our sanctification, our Christian character, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Fornication is where you're having sex and you're not married. You can't be doing that. God's not pleased with that. And that we obey him from the heart. Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Then he wants us to develop Christian character, like Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Temperance means that you're sinning less. You're drinking less beer. Remember the temperance movement? When they passed prohibition, they had the temperance movement. You got to get your madness under control. Drink less beer than you did last year. Drink less whiskey than you did last year. Grow. You got to grow. You got to stop doing your sins. Get your madness under control. Temper yourself. Sin less this year than you did last year. Sin less next year than you did this year. The goal is always to be able to see your Christ face in that goal, to become just like Him, to become Christians, to look just exactly like Christ. What was Christ like? He's like God. So God wants us to be like Him because we were made, created in His image. Go work today in my vineyard, Matthew 21:32. For John came to you in a way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And when you had seen him, when you'd seen the work, when you had seen the miracle of the work itself, you repented not afterwards that you might believe him. You know, they thought we'd be closed down here years ago. I'll never forget one church, one little church said, well, we're going to help them and we're going to give them $100 a month and kind of get the blood off our hands. And they never thought that we'd make it 6 months. And it's been like 18 years. They never, ever thought that they would be committing to $1,200 a year times 18 years. They never thought that that had ever happened. Never entered their mind. Listen. Any congregation can take the gospel to the whole wide world. How can we know? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you have real faith, there'll be substance to it, and there'll be evidence of it. You'll be able to see it. Who'd ever think that this little church could take the gospel to the whole wide world 5 times? In 13 worldwide radio broadcasts. Who'd ever think that? Well, God wants it done, doesn't He? So all it takes is somebody to believe that, hey, we could do that. Now, let me tell you what we really want to do. We want to do it 24 times on Sunday. We want to do it every hour of the day on Sunday. Does anybody think that that's God's will? He'd like to have the gospel go out to the whole wide world, wouldn't He? Every hour of every day, wouldn't God like that? Of course. So this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His what? Will, He heareth us. Lord, help us preach the gospel to the whole wide world every Sunday. I believe it's going to happen. Non-faith is the blackest of all sins. Non-faith is to hear the word of God and fail to repent that you might believe. In John 15:22, Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they had not sinned. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Now Jesus is going to give them the parable of the wicked husbandman. Matthew 21, beginning verse 33. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 audio sermons on there. There's 1,000s of written lessons. Churches all over the world are coming and downloading those written lessons and teaching them all over the world. This stuff is spreading like you wouldn't believe. The first day of the month, we get a report that is 6 hours long is all it is. Now, all we can see in our report, what's called a webalizer on our website, is the top 250 written lessons. And so there's 1,500 of them, and so it pushes them all off of the page, and we can't see how many are taken. But in the first 6 hours of the month, from midnight while we slept on the first day of April, from midnight until 6 in the morning, we downloaded 101 sermons while we slept, and there was 250 different written lessons that I haven't had time to add them all up, but I would say it's a couple of thousand times that those were taken. What college and university can say they did that last year? You think ACU gives away free Bible? They charge for it. You think Oklahoma Christian or Harding gives away free Bible? They charge for it. They charge thousands of dollars for a free education. We give it away. What is the will of God? That we charge for it? Come on, guys. We know what's going on. We know exactly what's going on. Why are we being blessed? Because we're not hirelings. We're not for sale. It's free. The gospel is free. We received it free. We're going to give it out free. Matthew 21:33. Hear ye another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. A certain householder is God who planted the vineyard Israel. In Psalms 80, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, thou hast cast out the heather and planted it. Thou preparest room before it and did cause it to take deep root and fill the land. But the pastors and the husbandmen of Israel, the shepherds, the scribes and Pharisees, the hypocrites, they sought to destroy the vineyard. In Jeremiah 12:10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. Matthew 21:34. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants unto the husband that they might receive the fruits of it. The prophets had come throughout all the Old Testament period to claim the peaceable fruits of righteousness. And what did they do? They killed them. They murdered them. Isaiah 1:21. Has a faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment and righteousness lodged in it, but now it's full of murderers. There had occurred a change in the hearts of the husbandman from his vineyard to our vineyard. And I'm telling you, there had become a change in the hearts of the husbandman here when I first came here years ago. It had changed from his church to our church to my church, a couple of guys thought. And any time there's a change like that, God wants to put an end to it. Matthew 21:35. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Their attitude was, there'll be no harvest without us. It's our vineyard. We've done the work. We're the ones down here running the priesthood. We're the ones down here, the Levites. We're the ones down here doing the teaching. They wouldn't be any fruit if it wasn't for us. Anger and greed capture the hearts of the husband. Just like they killed Stephen in Acts 7, drop down to verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. In Hebrews 11, the Hebrew writer tells us about the persecution of Christians in the Old Testament prophets. Beginning in verse 35, Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were torturing, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds, imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder. That great prophet Isaiah, evil King Masoneth, had him sawed in two. They were sawed asunder. Jewish tradition tells us that, not the Bible. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins. Read about Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament. Being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. David hid from Saul. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. What we've received, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that was the promise. Verse 36, and again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did them likewise. God has a vineyard. He sent his servants to collect the peaceful fruits of the vineyard. They kill them, they murder them, they persecute them. And then he sends other servants, and they kill them too. And so their attitude is, we've gone too far to stop now. In Matthew 14:10, they beheaded John in prison. Matthew 21:37. But last of all, he sent to them his son, saying, they will rever my son. They'll respect my son. Surely they'll respect my son. I mean, this is the Son of God. He's coming. They'll respect him. He'll do miracles like no man has ever done. He'll feed 5,000.
with two loaves and five little fishes, he'll do miracles like you've never seen. Surely they'll respect my son. But last of all, he sent to them his son, saying, they will rever my son. The landowner's son comes to the vineyard riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Matthew 21:38. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize upon his inheritance. Their attitude is, do you realize what we can do now? This is the heir. It's his legacy. The ownership of the vineyard can be transferred to the son. If we kill him, it's ours. They plotted it. This was not an accident that Jesus was killed. They plotted the murder of Jesus, John 11:47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. And if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place, meaning temple. Notice it's our, not God's temple. Come and take away our place and nation. Let me tell you something. If God was against it, nobody could have took away that place. Nobody could have took away that nation. The Romans will come and take away our place and our nation. But of course, see, the Sadducees were in control, and they really didn't believe anyway. They didn't believe in a resurrection of the dead or an afterlife. They found Caiaphas's bone box. They found him. And you know what? He was coined in the mouth. When he died, some of his family put a coin in his mouth so he could pay the boat driver to take his soul across the river Styx. He really believed in Greek mythology. He really didn't believe in the God of the Old Testament. And he was high priest. That's who's talking right here. Come and take away our place and nation. And archaeology has found that. They found his bones with a coin in his mouth. And one of them named Caiaphas, being high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and the whole nation perish not. Verse 39, and they caught him, the son, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. They took him outside of the gate of Jerusalem, and crucified him on that hill of Golgotha, outside the gate. They cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Matthew 21:40. When the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Will they condemn themselves with their own words? You know, often throughout the Bible, God tricks people. He gets them to pronounce judgment upon their own self. He gives them a parable or a rhyme or some kind of thing, and they open their own mouth and put their own foot in their own mouth. It's an amazing thing. You see it all the time today. People do it today. It's the way people do it. Matthew 21:41. They say unto them, he will miserably destroy those wicked men and let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. They told the truth. God did exactly like they said. God allowed Titus of Rome to both destroy Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD, just as Daniel the prophet said would be the result of the Messiah being cut off or killed. Daniel the prophet said in Daniel 9:26 that the Messiah would be cut off, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. God is going to cast away Israel. And Romans 11:15 says very plainly that this way of salvation is no longer the Old Testament covenant with Israel. It's a new covenant testament. It's a new church. It's a new covenant that is the way of salvation. Romans 11:15, for the casting away of them, Israel, be the reconciling of the world. Let's drop down now to Matthew 21:42. And Jesus said to them, did you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation. Here the church of Christ is referred to as a nation, to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Justice. You may reject the stone, Jesus, but he's going to get the final say. And now Jesus has used the parable of the stone, and so words mean something. Remember that? So this word stone, there's been used throughout all the Old Testament. We want to know about what stone means. We just go back and read every time that this word is used. This metaphor is used in the Old Testament. So in Psalms 118, beginning in verse 22, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. When the stones were cut at the quarry, they were cut away from the building, and they were taken then to the building. So the cornerstone was cut, and it was taken up there, and they tried to put it in wrong and lengthwise in the wall, and it wouldn't fit, so they sent it aside. Then they put another stone in there. And then they tried the cornerstone. It wouldn't fit there, so they set it aside and put another stone in. And so they went all the way around the building like that, and they found out that, hey, this is really the stone where the wall meets. Jesus is that stone. Upon him, he is the cornerstone that the whole building is built upon. In Isaiah 28, verse 16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he that believeth on him shall not make haste. And in the New Testament, where this is quoted, Peter defines that last clause, shall not make haste, as shall not be disappointed. If you believe on Jesus, you won't be disappointed. In the end, when you have a judgment one of these days, you won't be disappointed. You'll be saved. Matthew 21:44. And whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken. You need to fall on Christ and do away with your self-will and be broken, break your self-will, and submit to him. And on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. Jesus is a stone. Isaiah 8:13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary. That's a place that you can go for refuge. That's up under mama's skirt. That's a place to hide, man. That's a place to hide. Jesus is a place to hide. Up under his wings is a place to hide. He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. A lot of people are going to stumble on this Christ, to both the house of Israel and for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, the doctors of the law. He's a gin and a snare. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and snared and taken. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them. Amazing insight. They woke up. They said, he's talking about us. He's talking about us. In John 10:35, it says, for the scripture cannot be broken. Now, Peter takes every one of these metaphors that we've studied in the Old Testament and blends them together and tells us it's talking about you. It's talking about the church. Look at 1 Peter 2:5. And ye, the church, are living stones, are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Every one of you are priests, kings and priests to God, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. What kind of sacrifices does God want? He wants you to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, Romans 12:1. Offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. This is Isaiah 28. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. But unto you therefore that believe, he is precious. But unto him which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, that's Psalms 118 that Jesus quoted, the same is made the headstone of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. So they were appointed to come to salvation through the Messiah. They stumbled at it, and they've fallen, and they're going to be ground to powder now. But ye, the church, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This Church of Christ is a holy nation, a peculiar people. If you're a real Christian, you can't help but being peculiar from what you used to be. Your friends will think you're peculiar. Everybody will think you're peculiar. A peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Matthew 21:46, but when they sought to lay hands on Him, they feared the multitude because they took Him as a prophet. Won't you believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Won't you put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you? Repent of your sins. Just march down to the front down here and confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And put your Lord on in baptism and have all your sins washed away. Won't you come and become a Christian this morning? If you have sin in your life, you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, you're ready to become a Christian, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Thank you. now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.